everyone, and welcome to the 29th episode of the XCast X-Files Podwatch, covering The Walk and Oubliette. I'm your host, Carl Sweeney, and I'm delighted to be joined by Clara Cook. Hi, Clara.
Hi, Carl.
It's good to speak to you again, Clara. I think the last time we spoke was when we gave the Calasari a bit of a slaughtering.
Yeah, so, definitely.
Inexplicably became one of the most popular podcasts so far. So, yeah, we'll have to see if we find either of these two any more interesting. But before we start talking about The Walk, what are your current thoughts, Clara, on season 11? How are you feeling about that?
So I think I'm probably out of the ordinary amongst the X-Cast group because I'm not massively positive about season 11, I have to say. I'm cautiously optimistic, perhaps, maybe is a better way of putting it. I am looking forward to seeing Mulder and Scully again and to hearing more about, like, learning more about the mythology. And it ended on a cliffhanger. I want to know where it's going to go. I also feel the little bit that they have to do really well now, because it's going to be the last one, I think, probably. Just because Gillian Anderson has a lot of other creative projects, and so I assume she probably might not come back. And unless they take it on with other characters, which I think will be very hard to do, I think then they're going to have to go on out on a high. So there's a lot of pressure there for the writers and the directors, yeah, and for Chris Carter. So I can't say I'm massively excited just yet, but we've got a ways to go. So I think I'll probably get more excited closer to the time.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think I'm also, you know, I'm not that excited at the minute, but come Christmas time, I'm sure I'll be at a fever pitch of excitement, but time will tell. Okay, let's move on to talk about these two episodes then. So both of these episodes aired for the first time in November 1995. And the first one is The Walk, which is the seventh episode of the third season. And this episode was written by John Scheiben and directed by Rob Bowman. And this is the episode about a murderous quadruple amputee who is capable of astral projection. So, Clara, just to kick us off, what are your general thoughts and feelings on The Walk?
So The Walk has never been one of my favourite episodes. However, I don't think that's because it's a bad X-Files episode. I think it's partly because of just personally, I myself have never been massively interested in the episodes that involve the military, just because I'm not really interested in stories about the military. However, I do think it's quite a solid revenge episode. X-Files is particularly good at doing revenge episodes, especially episodes where there's multiple targets in the main character's revenge. I think the way that the victims in this episode die is horrific, and actually there's some very good death set pieces, if that's how you can put it. Being boiled, well, the guy in the beginning and the teaser is sort of almost boiled alive, and he doesn't die, but it's a pretty horrific way to go. The little boy being smothered by the sand pit, the woman, I think it's a military officer, female military officer, being drowned in the pool. The pool especially was quite a creepy scene, because who hasn't swum in a swimming pool and felt like there might be something in the depths, you know, of the swimming pool kind of waiting to get you. Having said that, I find the main character completely unsympathetic. I can't remember what his name is now. Leonard Trimble. He's a very self-pitying, just egotistical character who feels bad about the fact that he feels really sort of like he's justified in wreaking revenge on his senior military officers. When he himself, I mean, like Mulder says, you were a soldier, you knew what you were signing up for. I mean, it doesn't mean he deserves to be you know, completely disabled without any limbs,
yeah.
But you know, he's in the group therapy session, you know, he's mocking other veterans, you know, who are trying to get therapy and are trying to be hopeful despite their situation. I think he's actually portrayed as an unpleasant person. I don't think it's just me thinking that.
Yeah, I'd go along with most of what you said, actually. I think it's a solid episode. It's not a great one. I agree with what you said. One of the things that lifts it a bit is there are a couple of good set pieces, and I've noted down the swimming pool one's a good one, and the boy's death in the sandpit's quite striking as well. Apparently, Rob Bowman, I was told this by Chris Knowles on another podcast episode. He said that Rob Bowman, the director, was quite a conservative guy culturally, and he had some problems with some of the stuff he had to direct on The X-Files, and this was an example where he really had issues with having to portray this death of the young boy. But having said that, I still think it's a very good sequence.
Yeah, it is. It's pretty horrible. I mean, it's And we, you know, it's interesting that you should mention the Calasari as being the last podcast we did, because there's the death of a child in that too. And I don't think the death in this, the child's death in this episode is any less horrific. I mean, being suffocated by a mound of sand in a sandpit, I mean, that's a pretty nasty way to go, especially for a little boy, you know, who's completely innocent. You know, he's in no way in any way to blame for Trimble, Trimble's injuries or Trimble's war experience, like combat experience. I mean, the boy is complete innocent. I do feel a little bit that some of it was slightly unrealistic, like the reactions to the deaths of the characters from, especially from the general. You know, the young woman that he apparently works with quite closely is drowned in a pool, and he seems a little, I guess he seems a little shocked, but he doesn't seem that bothered really. And then his son is smothered, you know, and he sort of says to his wife, well, we just have to move on with our lives, or whatever he says. And I'm thinking,
yeah,
you know, his wife's like, I don't really want to move on. And I'm like, yeah, I kind of see her point. So it felt a little bit rushed towards the end.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Yeah, it's interesting that you said you're not, you know, you're not that interested in the, you know, the military aspect of things. One of the things I did like here is I thought that some of the themes that came up about, you know, the treatment of veterans and warfare in the TV age, where, you know, I think he says to Mulder, you know, you just watched the war on TV. I thought some of those things were quite well observed and they were still relevant today. This is one of those episodes, isn't it, where Mulder and Scully don't do a great deal. But there is a good scene early on where Scully sort of stands a corner against the military bureaucracy, which was probably the highlight of the episode, I thought, from the perspective of what are Mulder and Scully up to.
Yeah, and I liked how early on in the episode when Scully thinks the character right in the beginning, the senior military officer who's sort of boiled alive, she thinks that he's got PTSD basically, or some sort of depression, and she writes it on a piece of paper and gives it to Mulder, sort of shows Mulder. I like that sort of little moment. They're working in sync with each other, you know, they may have differing views, but it's like they know how to interrogate a suspect or they know how to interview a witness together. I thought it was good. I also like to see Willie Garson, who plays Roach Freely, and he's an actor that's also in the Goldberg Variation. And I like that actor. I think he's a good actor. I think he was a little bit wasted in this episode. He didn't have a huge amount to do, and then he ends up dying another pretty horrific death, to be honest.
I've heard a few people really take against this episode and really sort of slag it off, but I don't really see what there is to hate here. But I do get why somebody would just not really be interested in rewatching this. You know, if you're not that impressed by the set pieces, and if you're more interested in Mulder and Scully, I can see why this would be an episode you'd skip on a rewatch.
Yeah, I mean, it's a solid piece of storytelling, though. So in terms of
I can
see what you're saying. From a fan's point of view, it might not be your favourite, and you might not rewatch it because there's so many other episodes to choose from, isn't there? But in terms of a story, an actual X-File, I think it's a pretty solid piece of storytelling. And I may take issue with the main character, but he has got motivations that are understandable. The episode itself made sense, basically. And you can't always say that for all the X-Files episodes.
Indeed.
Some of them you wonder, like, why this person's doing this and what's going on. But I didn't. I kind of took it as I was shown it, you know, and I kind of understood it. And I mean, even though I knew the deaths were coming along, I was still like, oh no, don't get in the pool, or like, oh no, like don't play next to that mountain of sand, you know. I mean, I still felt like a little clench on my stomach. So that's good writing.
And just before we wrap up on the walk, so I mentioned at the outset that this was written by John Scheiben, and it was his first script for the series, and he would go on to write some questionable episodes later on. And I think this is probably one of his more solid outings. He would later go on to do Teso dos Pictos, and El Mundo Gira was one of his as well. He did some good stuff. The Pine Bluff variant's quite a nice one, I think, and this one's okay.
Yeah.
But so it's significant for the debut of John Scheiben as a writer as well. I'll just wrap up then by saying, yeah, I think it's quite a solid piece of supernatural revenge. If anything, its effect is probably a bit blunted because we've had quite a lot of supernatural revenge stories up until this point, even in the third season alone. So it's maybe not the most original tales, but it does what it sets out to do fairly effectively, I think. Okay then, so maybe we should turn our thoughts to Oubliette. Oubliette was written by Charles Grant Craig and directed by Kim Manners. And this is the episode in which a 15-year-old is abducted and Mulder and Scully meet a woman with some kind of psychic connection to the victim. So what are your general thoughts, Clara, on Oubliette?
So I think the first few times I watched Oubliette when I was younger, I found it very scary, but I found a lot of the characters quite frustrating, and I think I just didn't really enjoy it that much. As an adult, watching it as an adult, rewatching it, I actually really enjoyed it, and I think it's a pretty good episode. It's very well directed. There are some really good scenes, really good lighting. I think it was effective use of a dark room and photography to make the story and the abductor really sinister. The Amy Jacobs, who's the abductee, being photographed with flash continually and not being able to see in the dark, being photographed by her abductor is really, really horrific, actually, really creepy. The abductor, Carl Wade, who's the villain, is really, really creepy because he's so ordinary. And he's very believable as a character, I think.
Oh, yeah.
The episode's brilliant because it's not... doesn't seem very paranormal, to be honest. It's very stripped down to the basic components of a sort of abductee-abductor story. And even the, I would say, the post-victim, the older victim, Lucy Householder, you know, she's... I mean, there's a paranormal element there. She's connected to Amy Jacobs, but... It just doesn't seem very paranormal, you know? And it's in its ordinariness, it's sort of stripped down kind of storytelling, makes it all the more sort of tragic, actually, more sinister. And Lucy Householder is not a very sympathetic character. She's a real victim and she's traumatized, but she's also has no real interest in helping Amy Jacobs. And even... When she dies at the end, it's not even clear that she really knows that she's being sacrificed. And I like that. I like that about her. She's trying to get back into the community. She's trying to rebuild her life. She doesn't really want to get involved with the X-Files and with Mulder and with Carl Wade. And I thought that was actually quite believable. It's very, very, it's very rare that in the X-Files that they have characters who sort of outright refuse to help Mulder and Scully. They might have people who are part of an institution or part of the... you know, the mythic storyline in the sense that, like, the syndicate or something, they might have law enforcement refuse to help them. But it's very rare that they have, like, a witness refuse to help them. Do you know? And she really, throughout the whole episode, she just keeps saying, no, no, no. Like, leave me alone, leave me alone. And I kind of like that. She's an unsympathetic but also a sympathetic character, which is quite believable.
Yeah, I think this is a brilliant episode, actually. Whenever the discussions about which episodes are underrated or which episodes have not been seen widely enough, this is normally the one I throw into the discussion because I think it's excellent. For a lot of the reasons you said, basically, I've written down the word ordinariness as well of the killer. I think that's very effective. Yeah, Tracy Ellis is the actress who plays Lucy, and I find her performance and the character just fascinating for the reasons you said, really, that her situation obviously invites enormous sympathy on behalf of the viewer for her. But then her performance and the things the character does just kind of put barriers to that all the way through. And it's, as a viewer, it's quite tricky to navigate. As you say, I'm interested that you said you didn't find it that interesting when you were younger. But watching it, you know, a few more times over the years, it's sort of grown on you. And I think some of that may partially be because of that character of Lucy. There's a great scene here. What I like is that you've got the whole Samantha Mulder thing, which goes unspoken for most of the episode. I mean, as viewers, we're aware of Mulder's history with Samantha, but it's not actually voiced until Scully confronts him about it. And there's a great moment where he comes back at her and he says, "Not everything I do or say or think or feel is about my sister." And I just thought it was such a very keenly observed exchange between them. It had real depth, I thought.
Yeah, it's important, that bit, because it's showing that the scriptwriters are writing real, fleshed out, like, many dimensional characters. The Mulder can't be simply reduced down to a series of impulses. You know, his motivations for things can't always be explained so clearly. If he was a cartoon type character in another show, perhaps, they would just explain it away as that, of course, he sympathizes with Lucy because she's, you know, he's thinking of his sister being abducted. But actually, what they make clear in this episode is that he sympathizes with Lucy because he's a good person, you know, because he can see that she's tried to rebuild her life and he feels bad for her. He's horrified by what she went through. And because he's imaginative, you know. And I mean, even Scully sympathizes with Lucy. She's just not able to see the paranormal connection, so she thinks Lucy's somehow criminally involved. But even at the end, it's quite clear that Scully sympathises with Lucy. She feels bad about it. And by not making it all be about Mulder's sister, by Mulder actually saying, not everything is about my sister, I can empathise with this person, I can, you know, investigate this crime without being attached to my past history, I think is the writer's sort of saying, well, this is a fully dimensional, fully fleshed character who's not going to be reduced down to a simple set of impulses.
Yeah, and that scene's great because it compares to an earlier scene in the episode Conduit right at the start of the series, which is another case about a missing girl. But in that instance, Scully says, you know, basically the same thing, you're chasing after your sister. And it's more appropriate there that they don't get into quite as deep a discussion at the beginning of the series because, you know, we're still learning about them and their relationship hasn't developed. Yeah, but by this point, you know, they've been through a lot and the writers know them inside out by this point, I would say. And that exchange just feels right at this point of the series. But it's bolstered because David Duchovny's so good in this episode, I think, as a whole. I think it's one of his best performances, actually, in Oubliette for Duchovny.
Yeah.
I think he's brilliant.
I think that bit where he goes to try and put his hand on Lucy to prevent her from walking out the room and she sort of says, don't touch me, don't touch me, I don't like to be touched. And the expression on his face is just, I just thought was, you know, really well acted. He looks kind of, you know, takes a step back, but he also looks a little bit horrified, you know, like he feels like he's done something wrong, but he also is kind of really keen to find out like what she knows so they can rescue Amy. And his attempt to resuscitate Amy at the very end, and Scully sort of saying she's gone, like stop, basically stop giving him mouth to mouth, and how desperate he is to resuscitate her, it just feels very, like, very natural. It feels very much like something that Mulder would do. I mean, he naturally has an affinity with outsiders and people he perceives have been failed by the system or have been a victim of a crime. I don't think that's all just to do with his sister. That's who he is as a person. And the whole setup is really good. I mean, the location of the cabin, the way it's filmed, the water, the idea that one character drowns on dry land to save the other one who's actually in water. That was just really clever, I think.
Yeah, I think if one thing I would say is that if we compare this to The Walk, I mean, they're not an obvious point of comparison other than the fact they come one after another, but The Walk had some good standout set pieces, but this is a much more unshowy episode, and I think it's to this episode's benefit that it's not too insistent that you find things, you know, thrilling or relatable necessarily. It just sets out, it does what it does brilliantly. It just sort of works its way into your affections, is what I found. Over the years, this has just risen in my estimation, you know?
And it's nice as well to see some of the actors that we're going to see again. So the lady that plays Lucy Householder, I cannot remember, what's her name? Tracy Ellis, that's it, yes. She's going to be, later on, she's going to be Audrey Pawley in the 9th season, I think, who's another very... what appears to be kind of like a slightly traumatized character, but also a very sympathetic one. And I completely forgot, but when I first started watching the episode, I was like, the Amy Jacobs came on screen, it's the first thing you see in the teaser, is Jewel State, I think that's how you say her name, who played Kaylee in Firefly. And it was really delightful to see a young Jewel State, basically, knowing that she's going to go on to be in Firefly and in the movie Serenity later years.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh my god, it's Kaylee. So that was quite exciting as well. It's a good episode. It's a sad one, but it's a good one.
Yeah, I would just finish maybe by saying that if there are any fans out there who skip this on a rewatch, I don't think you should skip it next time. I think you should take a look at it because it may be one that holds up a lot better than you may have remembered. Would you agree with that,
Clara? Yeah, definitely. I think it. If you watched it when you were younger, when you were a teenager, and you were perhaps maybe looking for something else from the X-Files then, which is fine. If you watch it again as an adult, I think you're going to... It's a more of an adult episode with adult themes, so I think you'll enjoy it now.
Yeah. Tomorrow on the X-Cast X-Files Podwatch, the episodes being discussed are Nisei and 731. In the meantime, you can find us on Twitter at @X_cast, and you can find us on Facebook. Our Facebook group is called X-Files Basement, the X-Cast Podcast Fan Group. I just wanted to say thank you to you, Clara Cook, and until next time, listeners, trust no one. We'll